Hey there guys, this is Dave from DC On Screen. I just wanted to let you know that DC On Screen is now officially a part of the 11th Annual People's Podcast Awards. If you would like to vote for DC On Screen, go to podcastawards.com, scroll to the bottom, and write us in on the TV and film ballot on the right-hand side. Then, on the left-hand side, put your name, your email address, then submit. Importantly, you can nominate up to 20 shows for different categories, but you could submit the nomination form only one time. Make sure you nominate all your favorite shows in their respective category. Once you hit submit, that's it. You're done for 2016. Can't go back, can't do it again. Settle in now for a brand new episode of DC On Screen. Welcome in to DC On Screen, episode 156. We're going to be getting super spoilery and talking about Legends of Tomorrow 111, The Magnificent Eight. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hey.
This episode, leaving off from the last episode, the team finds themselves in dire need of a hideout from the Time Master's bounty hunters, the Hunters, as they were called. And Rip decides that the best place to take shelter is in a little town called Salvation in the year 1871, which just happens to be in a temporal blind spot. Of course, the team finds a way to start a fight, this time with a band of outlaws called the Stillwater Gang. They also meet a cat named Jonah Hex, who knows Rip Hunter, knows about time travel, and remembers a little place called Calvert, where Rip once stood up to a man named Quentin Turnbull, much to the chagrin of the town when Rip left. Meanwhile, Kendra finds herself and learns that love without a soulmate ain't what it cracked up to be. You liked this episode.
I really did. I mean, just taking it from the top, man, it's a lot of these characters suddenly make a whole lot more sense in a cowboy context. Does that make sense to you a little bit? Like, Mick and Snart
only in the
live
sense.
That way. You know, like, yes. They, you know.
I was about to say, Mick and Snart make the most sense in this setting.
Sarah seems like she could hold up just fine back in these days. Like, Sarah, like, even Stein being the academic soul in the middle of a Western brawl. Like, right. Even him, you know, they all took on, I don't know, their personalities adapted well to the environment. And fucking Jonah Hex, man. I loved it. God, I loved it.
You loved Jonah Hex?
I really did.
I thought he was terrible.
Loved it.
I thought the actor was terrible.
No problems with him. Honestly. I mean, I can't even think of a line that I can relate to that with. I thought it was fine.
He overplayed it, man. He was pretty terrible. He overplayed it. He barely kept his accent. He was trying real hard to have like this Clint Eastwood type of voice.
I just thought all that worked for different ways. I mean, it was, let me put it this way. It worked because that's exactly what I think of when I think of Jonah Hex. I don't know. Oh, all the stuff you just described, I'm like, yeah, that feels right. I mean, I didn't really notice a problem with the accent.
Right to me at all.
But I don't think of him as a big over-the-top guy or anything like that. This just made sense to me.
I don't know. The way the guy like walked around and motioned with his hands and like put his hand on his hip and stuff. And like he acted like he was in a play. Which was weird for me, because to me, like, Hex is just sort of a, you know, monosyllabic badass, and this dude was just, you know.
I mean, Hex can deliver a few lines in a row when he wants to, but for me, this guy did, he kept it pretty quiet. I mean, the only time you see him really open up was when he's ripping into Rip, you know? That was the most exposition we got out of the character. And you had to give him a little bit. You can't just have him do that, I feel like. Unless you really commit
maybe,
to it.
Maybe next time, maybe he'll watch this episode and be like, man, I need to pull it back a little bit. And next time when he shows up again, because I'm sure he will, he'll be a little better. I don't know. I didn't care for the actor, whatever his name is. What was his name?
I don't remember. I think if he pulled it back much further, it wouldn't exactly hurt my feelings, but this is fine. That's good. I like finding out.
I liked that the timeline is constantly in flux, that there are blind spots.
Yeah.
I did like that.
I like that Rory knows about him.
Keeping
up with the idea that he has temporal training now. I didn't want that to be one of those things where we forget that now suddenly Mick is like a whole different person.
Right. I did enjoy Sarah and Mick trying to drink each other under the table.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny that they start a fight and he's asleep later.
That sounds.
But it's real dumb. It's real dumb because I'm like, dude. Rip is like, no, you shouldn't go. You shouldn't go. And they're like, we want to. And he's like, okay. At this point, it's just like, dude, don't let them out of the ship.
Doesn't Stein
start a fight.
Say something about
they're
like
awful?
Doesn't Stein say something about like, with this group, clearly you haven't been paying attention?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like they're just hanging lanterns left and right. And I'm like, this group should not be exposed to anything.
I'd rather,
take them back to their times.
Let me put it this way. They haven't yet figured out how to really shut that down. No, they haven't figured out how to like get out of the ship and not create a giant ruckus and, you know, cure TB 100 years earlier. But
which I think
that.
Is just the writers not being able to figure out how to have a show and not have that happen. So what are they doing here? I don't know. Let's just have them have a fight in a bar. Another fight in a bar? Yeah.
Conundrum for me is if they really learned from that lesson, there would be more stuff on the ship, and they wouldn't be getting off the ship as much. But if they didn't get off the ship, that's the whole point. That's the reason I wanted this show, Dave. I wanted them to go hang out in the Old West and hop into the future for a while. Like,
I just want a good story, and so far they're just not giving it to me. I don't believe the motivations of these characters half the time. I don't believe they're this stupid, because you can't keep changing the past. Like, Rip has said this over and over again, except in this episode where apparently saving this kid was what Stein is supposed to do because he's H.G. Wells. Which, by the way, if you look up H.G. Wells, he would have been 5 during this episode, and that kid was way older than 5. But, you know,
trying to get 5-year-olds
to Mark
act
Guggenheim.
Well.
Mark Guggenheim can't Google a thing.
Nah, you can't get 5-year-olds that actually act well.
Then you shouldn't have written this stupid bullshit storyline into your show anyway. And it was stupid. It's the old friggin' trope. I'm ready for it to be done. Like, we say, we changed the past. We were always supposed to change it because this kid is a celebrity. Yeah, thanks. I had enough of that when Sam Beckett went back and hung out with friggin' Buddy Holly. I'm sick of
nice.
That shit.
Yeah, I put it this way. I would love to agree more heartily, but I like H.G. Wells' books. So I'd love to be like, yeah, and you know, I don't know. I'm trying to pick a bad author here, but I've forgotten a lot of them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Emily Bronte, because I hated Wuthering Heights. Let's say that one. But yeah, like if he had saved her, yeah, I'd have been like, well, no, clearly you're wrong because she shouldn't have been saved. But no, I can't. Mm-hmm. I like the Invisible Man. Nothing mm-hmm. I can do about that.
Well, you know, H.G. Wells is fine. They just, I mean, you didn't need that kid to be 5. You didn't need him to be as old as he was. You just didn't. He could have said that all the same stuff he said to the kid to his mother. He really could have.
Yeah.
Still a thing I didn't like. It's still a trope I didn't need. And if the Time Masters are indeed so worried about changing the past, why are they sending bounty hunters to run around blowing up a town with lasers?
Oh, temporal blind spot. They didn't have to care. This was actually the place to hit him.
Yeah. Well, except for H.G. Wells. He's not part of the blind spot. He's needed.
Well, I assume he makes it out of this town at some point.
Well, I'm assuming, yeah. Assuming he would have to.
Tuberculosis free. All right, Stein gives he gives her a good debriefing on it, though. Like, seriously, you've got to destroy, really got to destroy the vials. Just, like, burn everything. If you leave any hint of this hanging around. But, like, the confusing part is, well, why? Why not just go ahead and cure TB about, what do you say, 70 years early? It's probably more accurate. I didn't look it up. Why not go ahead?
Yeah. Oh, did you catch the Wilhelm scream in the bar fight?
No.
No, I didn't. I didn't catch it.
That's at least twice they've used that on this show now.
Nice. It feels fitting. It does. For this show.
I did like when Sarah asked him how long he was Kronos, and he said, never counted, never mattered, just another gig anyway.
Right?
I always like Mick. I have a question, though. You know, at some point, Snart actually says to, I believe it was Snart, actually, or they, someone does, they hang a lantern on this part, anyway, actually says to Jonah, you know, on the Wave Rider, we could fix up your face. He's like, fix up what about my
eye? Oh, yeah, and just backs off real quick.
Why is Snart running around with, like, burns and bruises all over his face the entire episode if he could just be fixed with the Wave Rider?
I honestly just figured Snart was like, no, I needed the hand back, but I can handle the face. I'll be okay. I figured he was just kind of being resistant about it.
Mm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it's, yeah, a line wouldn't hurt anything. But, yeah, that's what I meant. But, look, probably my favorite line in this episode, I want to say, like, when they're about to get in this bar fight, Stein says something like, you know, what does he say? When my friend here is being reasonable, you know we have a problem.
Yeah.
Followed by, you killed him. You're welcome. That's the kind of snark.
That was a lot of fun.
And snark does exactly what I expect. When I see this in the old cowboy movies and crap, it looks like that. Like, you look around the room and go, you saw I draw first. You know, it's a very drunken kind of court of law, I guess.
Yeah. I did enjoy later on when they have to tell Ray the Miranda rights won't be around. Snart tells him that Miranda rights won't be invented for another 100 years.
Right.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And Palmer's fun to watch in this episode too, because he has so much fun playing sheriff.
Yeah, he does. Did you catch Kubert's barbershop in the background?
No, I didn't.
Obvious big nod to the Kubert family, Joe Kubert. Mainly Joe Kubert, but
I missed that.
Andy and Adam Kubert, yeah, that's there in the background floating around. I kind of, as much as I didn't like the actor who played John Sheck or Sketch, I don't know, whoever played him, I didn't care for him, but I kind of do want to see more of Jonah Hex and like, I don't know,
I think
running around with
I think he'll win you over. Like, Rick Hunter. Could go back and watch an episode about Calvert pretty happily. That being said,
yeah, we pretty much know what happened.
Did you? I could deal with some real FaceTime with it. But how'd you feel about like Rip's? You got an explanation for why Rip looks like he walked out of this period.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you like it?
I didn't.
See, I had the feeling that was just how it was going to be. But I'm going on the other side too. I like that.
Mm.
I like that they did something about it, because what's he doing running around that duster all day? And why does he have?
I like that the duster used to be Jonas.
Yeah.
What I didn't like is that I kind of liked it until I realized, like, me and Bethany were talking, and she was like, it was so dumb that he named his kid after Jonah, because his kid's name is Jonas. Those aren't the same name.
Well, that happens all the time.
You know what? You're right. That is dumb.
It happens all the time. That's not right. People do that, like, all right, babies are born, what, 7 seconds or so? I'll bet in the next 2 minutes that happens somewhere.
What happens?
That somebody, I've seen that. The namesake thing doesn't have to be the exact same name. You just something that sounds like it or starts with a J or whatever.
Mm.
I see it all the time too.
Okay, you will be Jonah, but plural. Jonas. No. I did like Stein's line to Rip. I refuse to live with the regrets I see on your face. That was a good line.
That was great.
But if we are to believe that time travel works the way that Rip says it does and has repeatedly said that it does, no, you shouldn't be going to save this kid with TB. I'm sorry. And I'm pissed off that it worked out for you. I really am.
Yeah. I'm hope like what you know what's going to end up happening is here's what will get you out of it and it'll make you feel better. They get back to a future time and he asks Gideon about like how did H.G. Wells come out, and it turns out like the kid and his mom were killed by the remnants of the Stillwater gang while leaving the city.
Mm-hmm.
If he'd been sick, he would have actually survived it naturally, which is impossible with fucking TB, but whatever. I don't know if I made it through consumption has ever happened.
Yeah. Well, in those days, consumption was everything.
Yeah. Palmer's line, though. It's rivaling favorite for the episode was, what is it? Why can't a gang never be a bunch of good guys?
Uh-huh. What do you think you're in?
They don't call themselves a gang, though. Hey, you feel like he's watched, like, what is it? What was that old movie? The Buttercream Gang or something? Yeah. Yeah, look.
They've overplayed Ray's naivete so much now that it's kind of getting annoying.
Let's start in mind. On a couple of occasions, you want to slap him in his smiling face and tell him to get real, but I like his attitude. I just like his attitude too damn much to really be upset about it.
What'd you think of Kentra as the old lady?
Kind of dug it. Kind of really dug it.
Yeah, I hated it.
Like it. Because look, I
like the idea.
That's the thing, is I wanted to see, like, look, they can't all die at the same time every time. Like, surely he's not homicide every single time Vandal finds him. Yeah, I'd like to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know what happens when one of them survives.
I don't know.
I mean, like, can they just off themselves? Do they have to die naturally? Like, if they actually, like, if she shot herself, does she not reincarnate? I don't know what the rules are in that. But.
I swear, man. It feels like anytime any of these shows gets a person on who isn't a regular cast member, it's like what used to happen in Star Trek. They're like, oh, it's a comic book show. I'll overplay it because this is a kid's show.
Yeah.
So we have this like large, I don't know, old prospector version of Kendra who doesn't look like Kendra at all.
Like
rootin' tootin', blasting firearms, get off my land. We're in the old west. blah, blah. Oh, it was so bad, man. It's so bad.
I'll put it this way. We are in the Old West, so I didn't mind the first scene. Because everything seems like that. It's not like, I mean, we're in, it's an Old West show. And once you get past the rootin' tootin', as you call it, we're just at the fire scene where she's just talking to her. She did a good job with the fire scene when she's actually got real lines.
She was okay there, but like that first bit with her was just so bad.
I didn't mind it at all. I just
in and fact, she already like, had bumped. Yeah, she'd already bumped into her in town and knew who she was. So
actually, I kept trying to think back. Did she actually bump into her, or was that a hallucination of some kind? Because I thought it looked like a hallucination. Or like
I don't know. Was it
a vision kind of thing?
The whole thing was eye roll worthy, man.
That was good. I mean, I like I said, the concept itself was good. I wanted to know what happens, and just didn't have anywhere near the problems you had with the acting this week. Like it's on some episodes, I'm with you, mm-hmm. but for some reason, this one we're already going so novelty with it. We're in the Wild West.
Well, just because we're in the Wild West doesn't mean that everyone has to be a cartoon suddenly.
Well, the Wild West itself is a cartoon. It's not a real thing. It wasn't how things happened. Some truth to it, but the whole thing's a damn cartoon in this episode, so I was fine with it.
Mm-hmm. So we're just tossing any kind of realism that we hope to see in this show?
On the expanded adventures like this, yeah. I like it when they dig in and do a fun episode. So I'm not as down on the acting not being realistic. Like I like the fun episodes as much as I like the digging in for real episodes. Like when we're just talking about kind of the Supergirl effect, I want to call it sometimes. Like this last episode I really dug because they dug in. They got serious. They took themselves seriously for the first time. It was really, really nice to not see them try to like get out of something with a good joke. And,
see, what I was really hoping they would go is like, yeah, they're all like, oh, we want to go see the Wild West. Ha ha ha. I've always wanted to see the Wild West. They go out there and it's like, it smells really bad in the Wild West. Like,
everything.
And then like everything.
Like
yeah. And everything is bad. Everything. Like, it's much worse than they believed it would be. And just kind of hang a couple lanterns on the fact that they all thought it was going to be like the old movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like that at all. Dig into some realism. We get to meet Jonah Hex. Cool.
I wouldn't have minded that either, but I was fine with the fun version of this one.
Ugh.
It was. This isn't a show I'm expecting hyper-realism from, to be honest.
I could stand a lot of hyper-realism to ground what is already a silly sci-fi show. A silly sci-fi show that doesn't even go by its own rules.
It arguably does.
Be nice.
It arguably does. Look, and I think there's also this to consider with it, like, look at the next episode and what we're dealing with. Or the end of this episode with the Pilgrim and what the plan is. Like, the show itself ends on a very dark note.
Yes, after they built up the Hunters.
Well, yeah.
Which turned out to be nothing.
Yeah, turns out if all of them are on board and have Jonah Hex there happily shooting a newfangled gun or whatever.
Yeah, all they gained was Jonah Hex. That is all they gained. They did not even have futuristic weapons.
No, like they just Jonah had another had person. Yeah, he just had another person that's a good shot to use the futuristic weapon for a minute. That's mm-hmm. literally the only thing that was missing from the equation when they started.
That's all it took to take these Hunters out when you have Rory going, run. Okay. This episode, they show up, and yeah, I did laugh when Rory screamed, ah, friends, welcome.
Right.
I did enjoy that.
Of course.
But that was way too easy. It really was. Like,
I know.
And Jax, I could just deal with Jax being put away. I just, please. Yeah, that's what's up. Y'all best stay the hell away from us. Oh, dude. Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
They've got to stop writing him like that. It's awful.
Yeah, I want it pulled back.
It's
hard.
Embarrassing.
Now, the one, the little, I forget that, like, cross your heart symbol that Jonah does when he sees Firestorm, though. There we go.
I like
now
that.
Now we're talking.
I did like that. That made me laugh. Yeah.
Jonas, you get the feeling Jonas is the kind of person that can deal with just about anything, but he knows it's weird.
Yeah.
Perfectly aware of it.
It's weird. I did like when they said, oh, they've sent the Pilgrim after us, and Stark goes, oh, scary. That was funny. But I always like Snart.
I know.
I just, you know, I feel like they're just kind of trying to build up stuff and then throwing it away. Building it up and throwing it away. They're like, they've built up the Pilgrim now. And
yeah,
they'll take her out. And Jax will say something that even to me vaguely comes off as racist somehow.
Right.
Like, he's got to stop being a stereotype. I swear to God, man. It's just, it bothers me so much at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going way out on a limb with him, I think. I think the next episode might help you, though, man. I really do. I mean, you wanted, like, I enjoyed the little fun episodes, I think, probably more than I enjoy when they take themselves more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause in this universe, you know, that we have a lot of take yourself seriously with Arrow. And then we've got Flash that it's a lot of fun, but there's so much heart in the damn show that as at least a few times a season, Flash can make me cry. This one, I wanted a romp to some extent. I didn't have, like, huge expectations for it getting all serious on me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like it when it takes itself seriously, but I'm just not holding it against it when it does the fun crap like Magnificent Eight. And then it's going to do something real deep here with Last Refuge. Like, she's going to go try to kill them as kids. I don't think they're going to... I don't think it's going to be, like, filled with jokes next week.
Right. It's just, you know, when you do serious episodes, I feel like when you do, like, a show like this with, like this episode where you're like, oh, we're going to have a lot of fun, and this isn't, you know, it's all a cartoon. This isn't the way anybody ever acted.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it diminishes everything else. Like, I feel like, how can I reconcile the fact that, you know, this Wild West episode is in the same universe as this Arrow episode? You know, it's just, it makes me...
You know, in
not
that instance,
want to take
in particular,
the show seriously.
In literally just that instance, I can tell you the difference is Ray Palmer. Like, season three, even Arrow got more fun when Rand and Routh hopped on screen.
It did.
You hop over here, you know, you weren't gonna put his little candle out, man. That you can't make him not be excited about things. You just can't.
I feel like just, you know, if they're like, okay, we're gonna make this a cartoon. Okay, I can understand, like, wanting to put more of a romp into it. You can do all that without making the show suck. Like, I feel like I would be ashamed to show someone who didn't know anything about comic books. I would be ashamed to show them this episode. Because they're going to be like, what the hell is happening? I'd be like, dude, I don't even know. It's real bad.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm so sorry.
Play. I think it'd play. I really do. I don't think it's... let me put it this way. We've seen a lot worse, especially inside this genre.
I know. I've seen Livewire.
Right? Hell, even in just the... Well, they are all of the same universe now anyway, so... I can stop having to worry about when I'm talking about the Supergirl versus everything else universe. But yeah, we've got Geomancers out there. These guys are classy compared.
Yeah, I know.
And that's off the product that we love the most.
But it makes me, like, this entire episode made me feel like Geomancer. Just the Geomancer scenes.
I don't know. If I get to watch it again, I'm going to take a closer look at the acting and see if there's something I missed. But I just did not have any radar go off. I was also so damn happy with the spectacle of the episode. I enjoyed watching it so much that I wasn't as down on anything.
See, that's what you've been doing the whole time. I don't care about the spectacle. I really don't.
I wanted that spectacle.
I really don't care about the spectacle. In fact, they need to pull back on the spectacle because, dude, there's only so many times that these guys can, like, get out into the past and, like, they're all idiots. They're all so stupid. Like, why do they have to fight a whole bunch of people? I've gone my entire life without fighting an entire room of people before. Like, I've gone my entire life without doing that at once.
Right.
I don't, at no point do I believe that they have to get into a fight with, like, an entire room of people.
Every time. That's also not entirely true. I mean, I feel like every time we have a conversation about Batman versus Superman, that's what we're doing.
But we don't start just knocking people out and popping wings out and shit in the middle of, you know... I mean, damn. They're like, oh, this is the past. Yeah, we can't change anything. Right. We're just going to go have a couple of drinks. And, oh, no. And Firestorm's on. He's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's dying. Nope. Snart's freezing people. Snart's freezing people in the past.
It sounds a little truncated, but roughly accurate. Yeah.
Man, I don't know. It's just real bad.
Fine with it. Fine with me, man.
I think Rip just needs to take them all back home. Because they all suck.
Nah, like as
none
a team,
of them understand,
like,
the concept of time travel.
They're getting better as a team, and I don't actually think the show's broken nearly as many of its rules as you think it has. Like, the fact that they have this flux kind of area with the cementing of time has it gives them so much damn rope that
it does.
I think they're pretty much still okay. And even, like, in cases like this, we go into this little town, and, you know, we got a giant hawk lady flying around, and some guy who seems like he's vanishing and then reappearing because you can't see him when he gets that small. And, oh my God, was that a fly? And, oh my God, when did you get... Like, I get why you're going to freak out a bunch of people. I mean, by the way, it's an old West town. There's like 40 people here. But I get why you're going to freak out a bunch of people. Oh, and everyone's drunk, by the way, so...
I don't know.
But they even say in the episode, what did he say, like...
That's what this team does best, is just sit around getting drunk and then doing stupid shit.
Yeah, sounds good though. Actually, doesn't sound bad the way you describe it. But is it Jonah or Rip that says something about, you know, how are you going to explain this to people? And it's like, skepticism, disbelief, they'll do it for me. And I'm fine with that too.
I didn't buy that at all.
I don't have a problem with that explanation. I never have, really.
I can get behind, I guess, that it would just become like folklore or something for that town, but
kinda.
It's a tough pill to swallow, man. It is. Just like this new episode, the promo for the new episodes where he says, if you die in the past, you die in the future. You might want to get together with some people in the Flash and have that conversation, because I'm pretty sure that timeline hasn't changed.
You don't just immediately go away. No.
Right.
You just don't.
Yeah.
There are time remnants. It comes back.
Right. But, you know.
But I'm not.
For the sake of this episode.
No, I'm not. I mean, I watch the episode first. That's the kind of thing you say on a promo when you're just trying to convince some new people to cop in and check it out.
I know. I know the trick.
Just give them a second on that one.
I'm trying. I mean, I'm going to watch it.
Of course.
And we're going to have this conversation again.
Yeah, probably.
Scott Madison wrote in. He says, they just finished dealing with rampant racism in the 1950s, yet here they are parading jacks around the Old West in the 19th century. I am confused. That's
yeah.
a good point.
Yeah, it crossed my mind too. Which is honestly why I knew they were going back in time further in that show, and that's one of the reasons I didn't want them to deal with that on the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's just, you know, I don't know. I've got issues with this show in general.
I got you.
I don't want to. I want to love it.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Anyway, I think that's all I've got, man. I don't want to bum you out. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm fine. I loved the hell of that episode. I'm not bummed about anything.
Oh,
I just had to, we had different expectations for the show is what it's going to, because me and you've had this conversation a few times. We just wanted different things from it, and I'm getting what I wanted.
Let me ask you this. How did you feel about Kendra, like, holding back on all the stuff with Ray, her not telling him?
Not a problem for
her old other self, as she put it, he was a good man, but he wasn't a soulmate.
Not a problem for me. Okay. I mean, I know it's your older self telling you, but it is still somebody else telling you. That's an old version of you, and you've had a few more lifetimes. Fuck it. Yeah. You got a good thing going with Ray. You're just going to give that up because some ghost of Christmas future warned you about it? Yeah. Also, wouldn't you be a little disappointed with her if she didn't try anyway?
Yeah. I think my issue is not that she doesn't try. My issue, or not that she tries, my issue is that she doesn't tell him. Because it's another just like, you know, it's another thing that's going to be nagging in the back of her head that she won't tell Ray, that's going to keep them from, and then, you know, 3 or 4 episodes or longer down the road, he's going to be like, why didn't you tell me? And
possibly. it may just be a thing where we address it and she has, like, she may have just another conversation with Sarah later and say, like, well, you're ever going to tell him about that? And she can sit there and explain, like, you know what? At the end of the day, that was a conversation with myself. And we all have our personal demons, you know, like you don't say every negative thought you have for good reason. Not everything you've ever thought about a relationship should be said necessarily.
I know. So, it's just, you know, they showed me a thing on a show.
I know.
Which means that it's going to have to come out at some point.
I know. I'm just hoping it comes out as a, like, conversation with her or somebody else. Or even there's the chance that she does just tell Ray next episode because, she decides she should, and Ray takes it well, because obviously he would, because he's Ray. Maybe we just move right on. I don't know.
Fingers crossed, man.
Yep.
So, promo for for 112, sorry, Last Refuge. We saw Quentin with hair. He's in there.
Yeah.
He's firing a gun, it looks like. and Pilgrim running around attacking people in the past.
Right.
So, I mean, I look forward to it. I always do. I've liked certain episodes more than others. Obviously, it just wasn't much for this one, apparently.
I know. We always end up on the opposite side of the show. The ones
Why
I didn't like,
that?
You loved. I don't know. We never have gotten to the bottom of it. In all of our extended therapy sessions, we never have.
Maybe it's because we're not doing what Lucifer does. Should we be having sex? Is that what should be happening? It's not going to.
I'm almost sure that's not the solution.
I'd like to know if we're doing this wrong. I'm not going to change my behavior. But I'd like to know if I'm doing it wrong. Oh, we are DC on screen. I'm done. You have anything else?
No, I mean, I, I can't save this thing for you. I just can't. Guys, I would if I could.
Write into us. Let us know who's right, me or Jason. Was the show good or was the show shit? I don't know. We are DC on Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com, iTunes, and Stitcher. You can find us floating around on over on Facebook or over on Twitter, and hit us up there, or DCOnScreen@gmail.com. We are proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network, GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Go check out our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, MCUcast.com. And we'll be coming back with a news episode. Probably we'll drop that on Tuesday. So be on the lookout for that. Until then, keep some DC on your screen.